This is Lauren Bon, and welcome to Dub Labs Out There. Imagine a soundscape that not only stimulates your auditory senses, but also connects us with the more than human world. Metabolic Sonic's groundbreaking practice, in which we have literally broken through the concrete of the LA River, fuses the machine with the biological.
So in March 9th was when the atmospheric rivers happened and the landslide occurred. And then by May 3rd, it was declared an emergency, a disaster by Newsom. And then within that time, Lauren had the idea of moving mountains. So again, because she lived in Topanga and actually was affected and couldn't drive down that road that was closed, but she also started thinking about the projects that we had already done with the floodplain and the soil from the well, that like, wait a second, these soils could actually be reparative and they probably have seed. And this soil is coming off of like this beautiful mountain ecosystem and habitat. So like, it's gotta be beautiful, clean, native soil. So she had the idea. There was a lot of calls and coordinations of us trying to find who could help us, and then also us trying to talk to other groups of who would want this soil, right? Because again, we took 1,500 cubic yards, but that was like a drop in the bucket for how much soil actually happened. So we called the county, we called our friends at Park and Rec and all this stuff, and they were actually interested, which was very surprising, but they can't work on a timeline of a few weeks of getting massive amounts of soil. It just doesn't work that way. So May, we got the soil delivered. It was delivered here, and we have a pile over at the LA State Historic Park in the section that's not completed. The canyon reopened in June, which is amazing because they were expecting it to happen in fall of that year or later, so that the turnaround time was extremely quick. And as Diego had mentioned, we weren't sure if the soil was what it was gonna do because we were moving it from Topanga to here. And so would it be the right environment? So there was a lot of different experiments that went on here to make sure that it was appropriate soil for the place. But instantly it basically started exploding with life in all the experiments. In September 2024, Lauren had an exhibit called Concrete is Fluid, and that was around our Bending the River project, but also around this idea of meandros and soil. And it had a lot of the beautiful aspects of what you're seeing here, but it also had a lot of sculptures out of the clay and out of the material, kind of bridging that gap between art and science really beautifully. And then within this last time frame, we were also doing a lot of tours over at our other site around the soil that was there from the well and calling it undevelopment. It was undevelopment tours. So we brought a lot of people in to do those tours, but we also asked people what they thought about undevelopment. So we had workshops around that. And on December 13th, we actually had 18 people present their ideas of what undevelopment was. And it wasn't just a site. Some of them were ideas around education, toolbox. There was a really fun basketball hoop kind of idea, and a lot of really amazing ideas.
Mm-hmm.
every time there's a Friday the 13th, and we call it Optimist Lunch or Optimist Breakfast. And really, it's the idea of how do we turn these things on our head, right? And the way that, like, turning disaster into abundance, we like to look at what is kind of a preconceived notion and think about how we can turn it on its head. And so this was awesome. We were thinking about how to move forward with a lot of those groups that had ideas and our own ideas of undevelopment. And then the fires happened. And so that's when it kickstarted. And then, like you see, 3 days later, Kristen called us and said, we have so much soil. Can you take it? Those fires, so it was 24 days of fires. 57,000 acres were burned. And you all know what happened with that. And then by April 1st, we took the soil. We were wrong. It was April, not May. We took the soil and the logs. And within that time, we were, again, trying to coordinate with other groups to take the soil because we didn't have much space. And we knew Altadena really needed soil or was going to need soil. And so we tried again to coordinate with different groups through the city and through the county. And it was, again, kind of this idea of they were in their own crisis, obviously, but it wasn't working out time-wise. So one group that we went pretty deep in with was the Altadena Community Garden. And they were really interested in getting soil, Topanga landslide soil that came through. We were working really closely with them and putting them in touch with Kristen. The problem was that the Army Corps hadn't scraped their site yet. And so Kristen needed to get the soil off of the road again really quickly. So we tried to see if there were lay down yards for that soil so that it could be closer to the site that they would need it at. And they also tried very diligently, and it did not work out. There were multiple reasons why the county wouldn't let it happen. So we were like, okay, we'll take the soil for you. That's the mother mound you were standing on was actually the soil that was meant to go there. We're like, we'll just bring it to you when you're ready. We are always kind of doing ideas ahead of, like, doing a lot of the figuring out specific details. So when we did try to look at the details of what it would take to move that soil over to Altadena, it ended up being about $17,000 in just hauling alone. So it makes it prohibitive cost-wise, even though the soil came here for free. Had they just been ready or been able to use the parking lot that's right next to the Altadena Community Garden, that's a parking lot for a park that no one was using because most of the community burnt down. Had they been able to store the soil there, it would have been amazing, right? And it wouldn't have cost anyone anything, and it would have been perfect. But again, coordination issues, all kinds of different things that we, or government, imposes that we should start thinking about how could we actually start benefiting from some of these disasters and think of new ways to coordinate. Question.
It's so impressive to me how much you take on to undertake these incredible actions that you never did before. I mean, this is really, for me, it's a lesson of every day. How Lorraine looks at these, comment tu dis, disasters, and turns them into incredible opportunity, but she never took any soil. This is not something she knows how to do. None of the team knows how to do either. It's like we are figuring it out. It's amazing, this energy. It's just It makes me cry each time.
No, absolutely. I mean, I think we are pre-accustomed to, like, respond to crisis, right? We're just responding to crisis constantly. And we don't see the opportunity and regeneration that comes with crisis and how we can actually use crises to make us more resilient for the next one, right? And that's all we're doing here. So it is very much revolutionary in that regard. And I think Lauren's work and her vision is deeply needed in the city. We're, like Caroline mentioned, we don't have all the answers. We're just like role-playing potential solutions forward and exploring them with you, really. We're trying to share everything we've learned with community. That's the purpose of these tours. And actually, I want to pivot to the reality that we're learning from you too. And now is our opportunity to do that, because the studio and Lauren's practice are incredible and amazing. And I think there's so many lessons to learn from them, but we can't do them alone. It's going to take the whole city to like adopt novelty, to explore, and to build community in responding to these crises. So what we're going to do now is we're going to take some questions and thoughts and ideas about next steps forward that we can take as a community. For instance, policy. What kind of policy changes do we need to do to make moving mountains and clean soil banking and distribution actually happen at the scale of the city? Who's going to coordinate that work? Is there stuff that we still need to learn from the soil, or is there a way that we can use as a education to advocate for soil? Are there any safety concerns about moving soil from one place to another, or remediation concerns? Who's this for, or who can lead it? Are there allies that are not at the table that should be in these tours and should be helping us advocate for this to scale? Particular strategies for outreach or coordination or education? Maybe more on who's going to do all that work? Limitations on suitability? Is it appropriate to move soil from Topanga to downtown LA? Are there limitations to how far soil can move? Who's going to pay for it? How much is that going to be? Are there other costs that are not monetary that we should think through? So now you're in the hot seat. I want to learn from y'all. Anyone have any thoughts, ideas, or questions on any of these buzzwords?
So I am a Dena native, so I'm deep in the recovery work in and out to Dena. And what has spontaneous spark from what has been shared is when you mentioned that it's going to cost the $17,000 just to move the material. We have a lot of trucks that are currently moving material from, I'm sure, Topanga Canyon still potentially, out to Dena, debris, moving them and returning empty. And just the thought, I mean, I don't know what those routes are, but just the thought of being able to return those trucks with clean soil, like utilizing that, you know, those vehicles that are already making those rounds. Maybe there's a way where they can be picking up clean soil and returning that back to the land as a way to reduce the cost.
Like a carpool service.
Carpool service is like, take out the bad stuff, bring in the good stuff. A little detour, but I'm just, yeah, I see those trucks moving all the time. And I'm just wondering, is there a way to bring that soil. Exactly.
Anyone have any other thoughts or questions?
I felt like for who we should be targeting kids in high school and in college, because I go to college, Cal State Dominguez Hills, and I didn't even know about any of this stuff until I started working for Conservation Corps. So I feel like if we were to introduce it more to children or high schoolers and like my age adults, like 20 and like 21 year olds, they can like hold it down for the future, because you know not everybody's going to be like stay like here forever, you know. So I feel like it's best for us to introduce it to the younger communities so that they can potentially carry it out. Yeah.
Yeah, I want to second that. I guess building off of, what was your name?
Shade.
What Shade was saying. My name's Gabby. I'm an Angeleno, but I am currently living and working up in West Oakland with the Oakland Unified School District, and we're working like on a district site, and we have an instructional garden and kitchen and such, but we have a plot of land that we're trying to start the process of remediating to convert into like a larger scale farm. But West Oakland is like a part of the city that has a lot of industrial contamination. We have lead in our soil. And so definitely like hearing about this whole process has been like super inspiring and applicable of, so what does this process look like from like step one of it being a tow lot, like next to the trains and the rivers and all of that, to becoming like this beautiful space in just 10 years. And yeah, our site has only been around for 5 years. So imagining like in another 5 years, like what that could look like. And yeah, and we're working with like a landscape architecture firm and all of that. But another piece is, I know that we're hoping to do like a high school internship. We had a high school internship this past summer, but we're hoping to do one specifically about like environmental injustice and soil remediation and sort of what are these career pathways, because there's a lot of like career building in high school in OUSD. So I think definitely it could be, and I was part of an AmeriCorps fellowship program, and I think both of those could be good channels of like maybe having high school interns with LAUSD. I know there's OUSD has a program that's really built out, but I imagine like, yeah, just having some interns like from local schools, or having like a high school internship where students are learning about these things, maybe like paid. And then I definitely think you could have an AmeriCorps fellow here if you have the budget for it. And that has pros and cons, like there's a lot of turnover, but I think definitely like you can galvanize people's careers and just like get them thinking about what this could look like and doing it like in a paid sphere. And I think also another thing that we think about is like if you need a lot of like manpower too, like for a specific event of like moving mountains, you know, you could also utilize maybe like Boy Scouts and stuff. Like there are ways to like galvanize a lot of people, and high schoolers often have like, it's called service requirements, they need like service hours. So if you need it, like didn't need to do a big day of weeding or whatever that might look like, I think it's a good way to like get large groups of young people involved. And yeah, that's just a little bit of initial thoughts, but yeah.
That's fantastic. You know, it's interesting, LAUSD is one of the largest landholders in Los Angeles. So thinking about that, of how to get the students involved, they have a lot of parking lots. And one of the things I think that I probably forgot to mention is that a lot of the idea of potentially soil is long-term visions for that, but also these lay-down yards can be temporary too, right? So putting in place some way of, you know, an immediate kind of set of rules for when something happens, because what we know, right, is that climate change is real, it's intensifying, extreme weather events are happening more and more. And we have a lot of very steep hillsides in California, north and south, and that soil's gonna be sliding. And so, but we don't know exactly where or when that happens. So thinking about it on a temporary level is also super important. Of like, if you have a lay down yard during 3 months at a school, but it all has to go by then, you know, it's an interesting, just to put that little kernel in your head of thinking about permanent and temporary.
Thank you.
I love the energy that's burgeoning out of your minds. I also want to hear from you specifically in terms of how you feel you can engage with this work. Like, what will it take for you to take some soil home? Or how do you think you can use that soil? Or how do you think your community needs that soil? What steps do we need to take to make that happen? How can you organize community around this? So another seed in your head. I want to hear about that too.
Also for community-wise, I feel like it also can help the Black community, because I know that some of my fellow, like my friends or my some of my friends who are African-American, they really don't have a lot of opportunities. And I know that I feel like, and also strategy-wise, putting it on social media. I know a lot of kids, they be on TikTok, Instagram. Like me, I'm always on TikTok. And some of that stuff, like some of the stuff that you guys talk about, never pops up on my For You page. And I feel like if it was more like broadcasted, I feel like if we were to reach a social media base, that it would help out more and make, not necessarily them like wanting to reach out. Because I know my brother, he is looking for work right now, and he's pretty big. He likes lifting stuff. So I'm like, hey, like you should like join. But he's just whatever. But I feel like coming up with like little projects like that, to where they can help like move soil and just stuff for them to put their strength to use, basically.
So if you had the tools to share it on your social media, because, you know, we all know social media is basically, you know, a little cacophony of groups, and we do some, we should definitely do more, but if we had like a toolkit of, you know, various little videos and things, would you feel comfortable sharing that and kind of being a leader for your group?
I would say yes. I don't really post a lot of stuff on social media like that, but if I were like more comfortable in doing so, like if I had the material, I would definitely put it out there. And I even have friends that like that are always on social media, always reposting stuff, and I feel like they would be interested too. Like, because if I tell them to do something, they're gonna do it, whether they like it or not. But yeah, yes. But yes, I feel like that would be a good idea. Yeah, reposting materials and just spread, like, even like I said before, I didn't know any of this, and I feel like the more that I like explore my options of what this all was, I feel like I was really like more interested and more like comfortable with it, because at first I had nothing, like I didn't even know that this was a thing at all. But it's really good that it's being put to good use and that people actually would want to do this stuff, because I know people that do like doing stuff, like my little sister Joy. She loves nature, she loves being outdoors. I'm like, girl, I don't know about that. But yeah, but I have some other friends that do like being outside and that do like nature.
I love that you're centering the need for like Black communities and communities of color to have more opportunities in this. I have an academic background in conservation and restoration, and I've had the privilege of being able to lead that like in my community. And I will say the hardest part in that work is keeping communities of color engaged. And a lot of that to me is because we've been historically barred from that work, and we don't necessarily see ourselves, like we don't, it's the unfortunate reality is that we don't value that work because we can't see ourselves in it. We've been separated from nature for so long, and we have all these chronic issues with environmental justice. But it's hard to take on that work when you're just trying to, when you're struggling to survive, when you're like trying to keep food on the table, when you're trying to pay rent, right? So, and then there's the other added thing that we've kind of been touching on throughout the tour about like gentrification and the risk of like improving a community's environmental quality and all the cascade effects that come with that. Like, once a community's clean, people now want to move into that community, and developers want to commodify it, and rent goes up, and then we're kicked out. And so who's the work for ultimately, right? So for me, the beauty of undevelopment and the work of Lauren and the moon itself to me has always been an alternative to that, because it's the land leading, it's regeneration.